So I got a question for you. I just want you to think with me, not everybody yelling out here. If I asked what's your most favorite aroma this time of the year, does something automatically stand out to you? Just think about that for a moment. Yes, I know, and I probably, there's a ton of response we could right now get. Okay, somebody just give me one of your favorite aromas this time of the year. Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay. One, raise your hand, please. Mark. Pine trees. Anybody else?
Pine trees.
Oh, come on. He's got, you're copying. Gail. Yes, Gail.
Cinnamon.
All right, awesome. Joni.
Apples.
All right, I'll shut it down to two more. Okay. Pumpkin spice. Okay.
Gingerbread.
Ed?
Apple pie.
Oh, boy. All right. All right, let's just head to the fellowship hall and let's get some... Oh, just... Thank you. You got it. I knew I'd have to work with you a little bit on this. Your mind this time of the year will likely take you back to a previous time where you can remember certain aromas that bring back fond memories from past holidays. Certain foods, baking can do that. There are times a certain smell or fragrance brings back a memory. Christmas trees, spices, a certain food roasting in the oven, chestnuts roasting on an open fire just doesn't do a whole lot for me. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. But you get the point. Aroma and fragrances evoke certain memories or emotions. I want you to think about this one. The smell of a fire that has destroyed a home. If you've experienced that at any time and you come upon that smell again, your mind is often going back to that moment. You remember where you were. They say a lot of the times with military, members of the military who've experienced great trauma, and there's certain sounds or there's certain memories of scents, it can just trigger. It can trigger the trauma. And so fragrances can evoke something quite powerful in us. Aromas can also produce that. I remember when I was like in eighth grade, I had a bottle of Polo cologne. I took it skiing with me, and I was a little bit older. I was probably about 16 or 17. I went skiing, and I dropped the, and I had my Bible in there. This is so funny. I didn't. This is not in the notes. So I went skiing, brought my Polo cologne because I just wanted to smell so good on the slopes, right? And when I dropped the duffel bag on the floor of the locker room in the ski lodge, shattered, but my Bible was in there. To this day, when I read that Bible, Polo, all these years later. So, and it brings me back to Stratton Mountain where that happened. So just reminding you. So the scent of a favorite food this time of year can bring you back. And do you know that the scripture explicitly instructs us to take every one of our thoughts captive and to make it obedient to Christ? The mind is a war zone. I am telling you, if you haven't learned that, that is Christianity 101. Learn how to control your thoughts because they will run you in places that God doesn't intend you to go. You cannot do this unless you're born again. For the record, you can't control your own brain. God put it there, but you can't control it because it's been affected by sin. And because of that, it can take you places. And that's why Jesus taught all about what worry can do. You know, the fear of tomorrow. What could happen? Oh, you know, you find yourself just shaking in your boots. Well, how do you get to this place of security and safety? You've got to be born again. And in being born again, you receive, guess what? The mind of Christ. This is a glorious promise that God says, I will give you the mind of Christ. That comes into us through the new nature. The Holy Spirit takes up residence. God shows us what's really in this book that he wants us to know to be able to navigate through every imaginable circumstance this side of heaven and eternity with him. God knows what we're up against. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows the battles that we're going to face, but he also says, don't do this alone. Right? Don't, this is your instruction manual. And I expect you to follow it because if you don't, if you do things out of order and you take, good luck. We are in a spiritual war. That's what we're in the midst of right now. Every Christian, whether they know that or not, either you are in one domain or the other today. You are either in the domain of darkness, still stuck in your sin, or you've been already transferred out into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's Jesus. And you come there by faith. You come there by simply saying, Lord, I know that I have sinned against you, but him who died for me. And because of that, I am made right with you. Somebody said that the cross stands for being right with one another horizontally and being right vertically with God. That's what we want. We want to be right horizontally with one another. Scripture is very clear how we do that. If anybody ever says anything, you go to him first. If you think a thought like, oh, what's going on? You know, you go to that person in private, and then you continue to work the process that God has laid out in the Word of God. And you and I desperately need to be made new in our mind every day. So I want to ask you the question today. It'd be up on the screen. How's your fragrance? How is your fragrance when you're around people? What are you? What aroma do you put off? Capital One says, what's in your wallet, right? God says, what's in your heart? And who's in your heart? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ who makes all of this possible? Up on the screen are a few verses that I'd like to look at. I talked about how do we have guaranteed joy 2 weeks ago as we're in the middle of 1 Thessalonians, right at the end of chapter 2. And I want to see this almost as a continuation of that message this morning. I was thinking so much, and some things happened to us on Friday night at the South Shore Mall, and I want to share a little bit about that, how good the Lord truly is. But the scripture says from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, all the way to verse 17, just three verses, God says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. That is the heart of the apostle. Constantly in a spot with the Apostle Paul to defend true apostleship. His apostleship was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus picked out Saul of Tarsus and says, I will show him, right? I will show him what he will suffer for my namesake. That God, in through the Apostle Paul, chose him to give a revelation to the church. We are those people. We are who we are, these people that need a special set of instructions. How do we work through these details of the day? And you're talking to the guy who's in the details. I like the details. But on the back of your bulletin, there should be 3 points there, and I hope you'll follow along with me, because I believe this passage points out 3 very important things. Number one, God's promise, his promise to us. Number two, his leading. Number two, his leading. And number three, his presence. I pray all of these are part of your life this morning. In verse 14, the apostle says, now thanks be to God who what? Who always leads us in triumph. See, the believer has to realize that God is the one who makes the promises, and God is faithful to keep that promise. The apostle knew that he was under great duress many times. He talked about many, many aspects of his ministry. You know, you talk about imprisonments and beatings and all the things that the apostle, and he actually says that he's filling up, in one sense, the sufferings of Jesus Christ, that God is using his sufferings. God uses difficulty in the life of a church. As we identify with Christ and we suffer with him and we are willing to go through whatever he leads us through, because the promise here is triumph. The promise here is guarantee. He tells us right here, he always leads us in triumph in Christ. Because I have someone who's risen from the dead. His name is Jesus. This little package of beautiful flesh and blood in an infant in a manger in a stable, and there was no room for him and all that. He grew up, he learned the scriptures, he was sinless, and he lays down his life on the cross, so that every one of us could have eternal life by simply calling upon his name. Amen. because he is the one who leads in triumph. He leads in triumph out of that tomb. He is leading in triumph all the way into eternity, and you and I will forever worship him. I can only imagine. That's what this is about this morning. And Paul says here that because of Christ, he diffuses through the believer a fragrance. How you smelling today? You know? That's right. So my father-in-law says to me, David, my sniffer doesn't sniff anymore. Can't quite. I'm like, Bob, smell this. And I showed Jack a video this morning, Jack Savastano in the back there. There's a video on YouTube called Mandels. Mandels. It's candles for men. It's all types of fragrances that men like. Locker room, burrito, you name it. Pigskin. You got to watch this thing. It's pretty funny. It's like, what do you get for that manly man? You know, wet dog is one of the fragrances, you know. Yes, I actually don't know if you can find these, but somebody thinks it's a good idea. Maybe you could market it. So he says here, he diffuses a fragrance through the believer in every place. How's that going for us? And see, interesting here, talks about knowledge. You know what God can do with a knowledgeable Christian? A lot of good. There's a lot of good when people learn the Word of God and they obey the Word of God. God does amazing things. Who's sufficient for these things? Because I have the very presence of the Lord living inside of me. And he promises to navigate through me if I will allow him to. This is some of the best stuff. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But I'll tell you something. I need a lot of wisdom getting to the other side, right? I need a lot of wisdom getting to be with the Lord Jesus. And he is so faithful, so wonderful. Can trust him in every circumstance. He actually makes you stronger through him. Isn't that great? James says, consider it all joy, my brother, when you count of various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work in you. Okay. Doesn't feel very good in the process, but God brings you on the other side like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And he says here, see, that's why knowledge is important. That's why men, you should be in men's Bible study. Ladies, you should be in ladies' Bible study. You should be with us in prayer meeting whenever you can so that we can just learn the Word of God together and grow, because we are in war. And Scripture's very clear about that. And you need skills for war. You don't send a soldier out. You don't just take a guy who's 17 years old and send him off to Iraq without training him. These guys who, these snipers who can hit a shot of 10,000 feet away, that guy was trained. You got to think about some of the military excellence that are even in our own nation that we've seen demonstrated. The Christians should be even more skilled than that. This is important stuff in these days. And Paul says here in verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In other words, some people hate Christians. Every time you come into a room, they hate you because you are the zone of conviction. Like I walked into a room sometimes, like, oh, sorry, you're here. I'm like, oh, I didn't tell you, you know, I'm not your conscience, you know. I'm sorry, you know. I'm a pastor. I don't mean to offend people with that, but that just, like, it's weird at times. And, you know, and again, I think the Lord has been so good. And I tell you, I have very few of those real, like, you know, freaking out because they hear I'm a pastor. But I do think people who are not living in Christ are not comfortable around Christians. It's a fact. And you can have Christians, professing believers, who aren't comfortable around Christians because they're living in their own flesh nature. And they're ruled by that. And their brain is still thinking all types of weird thoughts. And that brain, not under the control of the Spirit, runs them into places that they can't easily get out of, because Satan's behind that. See, we have a formidable foe, but through Jesus we can stand and conquer through the Spirit working in us. So Friday night I have to make a call because we're working on some personal finance things in our family right now. I have to call my bank and talk to them And I get on the phone with this gentleman. Hours were, for this particular department, were 12 to 9. Had a great conversation with this gentleman. And he says to me, how's your Christmas going? I'm like, oh my goodness, wide open door. Wide open door. I said, I'm a pastor and I cannot wait for this season because we know that many people get to hear about the love of Jesus this time of the year. On the other end of the phone, this guy's like, hallelujah. So Chase Banks has Christians working for them, and a very vocal one, and was telling me about his church in Jacksonville, that 7 campuses, and I'm like, we don't even think in campuses. We think in old factories, you know, and maybe a small little lot that we might be able to build a church someday. So, amen, brother. That's right. Thank you for that encouragement. So how's your Christmas led to an open door? Then on Friday night, I'm going to take you shopping with me for just a few moments. We decided to walk through the South Shore Mall, and my Aaron's favorite store is Disney, just if you're wondering. Aaron's a big Disney fan, and this is the time of the year where I re-signal my wife and daughter that I need the best smelling cologne on the planet. So we walked by, so I use Aqua Velva and Old Spice now. Yes, I know, some of you guys, just the thought of Aqua Velva triggered a memory, right?
Yeah.
Old Spice, buddy. All right, I'm going to come over and look at your cabinet. Okay. So we're walking through, and Aaron is captivated by those in the Asian community because he loves this one pianist who I believe is from Thailand, and he does beautiful arrangements on a baby grand piano of all types, and Aaron has learned to play some of those. So every time we wind up interacting with somebody who's Asian, Aaron seems to be, is that him? You know, so it was good. So, but this gentleman's at the fragrance counter, the men's fragrance counter. I'm going to give my wife a few tips of things. So, and about after the third spray in the car, she's like, oh, like, don't spray anymore. I'm not feeling well. I'm like, no, honey, these are great. So I talked to this gentleman and I asked him, I said, you know, his name is John. And I said, John, I said, what part of, because he's really good English, but I could tell. I said, where are you from? He said, Korea. I said, cool. And I've heard from those, even in this church, that there's a lot of believers in South Korea. Lots of them. And I said, do you have a church? And that fragrance counter turned into the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ for the next 30 minutes. We forgot about cologne for men, and we talked about the one who works his fragrance through us. This guy loved Jesus so much. It was awesome. And I loved this encouragement because we were talking about things that were important. And he says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm like, this is a salesman at a cologne counter loving on the Lord to us. And we were so happy to leave that. And see, when you're open to the Spirit's leading, God opens doors. Whether you're talking to the bank guy on the phone the night before, or you meet somebody at a counter and you're just willing to open your mouth and talk about the Lord, God opens your mouth and he says, wow, we're going to turn this into something great. See, this is the good stuff of life. There is no there is no present at that mall that is going to fill your achy, breaky heart. Okay? They just don't do it. They last temporarily. But I'll never forget what this cologne, when I open it up on Christmas morning that we picked out the other night, every spray is going to remind me of the conversation with John. So praise the Lord. It's awesome. There it is. That's not John, but that looked like a counter like that. And so I trust that the Lord is, he has a promise that he is leading us in triumph. And you should have confidence that he is accomplishing what he wants in your life. He is doing it. His promise is good, and take it to the bank. God is faithful. When he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, he means it. With that is a promise, and with that is a new life, and with that is not a wasted life here. However, Christians can still very much live a wasted life here because they don't know how to get under the control of the Holy Spirit. It seems like it's the battle of their heart. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, take Jesus with you wherever you go. He'll open up doors for you. He'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. I've seen it full proof in my own life and my own family's life. The Lord is faithful. And I trust his leading. And so the apostle says here, to one we are, this is verse 16, it could go up on the screens, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. See, if a person knows you're a believer and they refuse to understand what that really means, they're actually, a judgment's being declared on them. They're basically saying, I don't want what you got because I think I can do better. Oh, huh? Really? And I'm not saying be arrogant about that, but you don't compare to what Jesus offers. Complete and total cleansing from sin, washes you and makes you new, gives you a new life and promises you an eternity in heaven. It's amazing. And he says, to the other, we're aroma leading to life. That's why the church, the healthy church, we are a blessing to one another. And we are wise to protect the unity in the local church. Because Satan hates the fact that we are a community that cares for one another. You realize that next Sunday morning there's going to be 35 hams to be given away to people in this church just because we care. Because we want you to be blessed. 30 or 35, I'm not exactly sure. And we're going to do that, a couple of sides to go with it, some green beans and some potatoes, because we care. And if you don't need it, but you know someone who could need it, let that be an open door for the gospel. Bring it to somebody in need. So next Sunday, around the end of the meeting time, you'll be able to pick these up. Praise the Lord. Well, God is working in the hearts of people in this church, Bonnie. And God does that. I don't manipulate people. You got to do it this year? You know, it's not what we're about here. We let the Lord lead. We want the Lord to provide. If God wants to use you in a way, maybe God wants to use some of you in the building fund. I don't know. I trust that he's going to do it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let me read you something I think was very helpful to me in preparation for today. The gospel produces paradoxical results is essentially what this verse 16 is pointing out here, really verse 15 and 16. As a bearer of this message, the apostle was identified with it so that he could refer to himself as an aroma of Christ. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek New Testament, Oudia, and if you remember what Paul says to two of the women in the book of Philippians, I urge Syntyche and Oudia. Oudia means aroma. So that's the word here. So this woman wasn't smelling very fragrant at the time because they were bickering with one another. And Paul calls them out on that. I urge them to get along with one another. See, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So this is the long-suffering love that saturates the Christian community that needs to be protected. So when he says aroma, oudia, that's the Greek word, was used also in the Old Testament regarding sacrifices. This is very interesting. Genesis, for instance, chapter 8, verse 21. Then Noah built an altar. This is after the flood happened. And God makes some very strong statements about that he would never do this again. But it grieved him what happened on the earth. And that's why the flood came. But after this time, and the water started to recede, Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. See, all sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. All of it was always a point to him. Jesus is in the Old Testament. He is there. But we see his sacrifice in full revelation in this infant baby. To grow up and then to lay down his life for us. And then, I believe it's in Exodus chapter 29, verse 18. This is what's required by Aaron as he's setting up the order of real worship in the tabernacle. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Lord. Paul's life was a sacrificial offering. Romans 12:1. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice. This is what the believer is expected to do. Not in your own strength, but by the power and the help of the Spirit of God who indwells you. That you can be well-pleasing to God. The course of his life, this is the apostle, proclaiming God's message while at the same time suffering rejection and attack by many, was an extension of Jesus' life as the servant of God. And that's what Paul points out in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. The heart of the gospel is that through Jesus' death, many people receive life in resurrection. And to those who rejected the gospel and disbelieved the message of Christ, crucified and raised, Paul was like the stench of death in their nostrils. They continued on the path to destruction, but to those who believe, their salvation leads to glorification. What is glorification, my friends? It's when you see Jesus, you will be like him. You will be like him. It's guaranteed. And you want this. See, this is why if this message is resonating with your own heart this morning, it's because your heart is saying, I want this. I need to know more of this. I am realizing that this life is a war, and I'm being torn apart at times because the scripture says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Okay? He is no friend of you, and he's no friend of this church. And if he can destroy, he will. But he has to find an open door and a foothold, and he can grab onto it. Can take it in places that it should not go. So he says here, they continued on the path of destruction. Those are people who reject the gospel. But to those who believe, their salvation leads on to glorification. When you see him, you will be like him. For them, this gospel is the fragrance of life. It's the fragrance of life. Jesus said, he who is not for me is against me. We want to make sure that we encourage people, don't just settle for some religious version of Christianity. Settle for real relationship with him. Amen. I think this is amazing. In Revelation, during the tribulation period, there are going to be some really hard times going on this planet. Thank God the church will not be here. But there will be people here on planet Earth that are going to have to endure this because they said no to Jesus now. They very well may be saved during that time because, hey, you witnessed to them. You talked to them about Jesus and they got left behind. When the rapture happens, they left. Now they're stuck. And there's a whole bunch of things that are going to go on in that time. Where if you don't have the mark of the beast, if you can't buy or sell, I pointed this out a few weeks ago. You know, we're there. I mean, we're already talking about chipping people. You know, don't take the chip. But, you know, seriously, there's... You know what's so beautiful about the Bible? It gives us a preview of what's coming. Like, you like to watch the preview to the movie? Well, read the Bible. Read the book of Revelation. Study prophecy. Study Daniel. It has a purifying effect on us. Wow, this is my glorious future. Isn't it awesome when you see that, you know, the scripture says, if I had not seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, right, I would have fainted, right? It's good to see the goodness of God when it's working in your life right now. It's awesome. Like, wow, I'm praying, God's answering, and I feel like I know for sure that he's dealing with this whole thing. He's got it. See, it's encouraging, but see, prophecy gives further confidence about your awesome future. And in Revelation chapter 8, this is one of the things that is very clear that brings a pleasant smell to the Lord. Then the angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was giving much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. I want you to know, my friends, if you are going through any level of difficulty right now and you are casting yourself upon the Lord, that is a fragrance to him. Your life is a fragrance to him as you trust him. You don't take things in your own hands, but you trust God. You let God do it. You let God help. And you let him work in your heart so that you're not all fretting and all this stuff and weird stuff still comes out of your mouth. It's like, well, where did that come from? Well, because... what you're seeing in those moments is what was really is really what was there. But because of what Jesus did for us, that was all nailed to the cross. Fully. The punishment for that happened on the cross. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's standing in your place as a sinner, feeling utterly forsaken, knowing what utterly forsaken means. He knew this perfect harmony with his Father, the Holy Spirit, forever. And now it's temporarily severed because he has on you your sin and mine. And he took it in full and he nailed it. And that's the more you and I understand that what really happened at that cross makes it possible for you to live victorious now, because as the apostle said earlier in this, he always leads us in triumph. Always leads us in triumph. Remember this one? And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. These magi who came from the east. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold represents his royalty, a king's deity. The frankincense was for his sinless humanity. These fragrances, this frankincense had a definite aroma to it, but it represented a gift because he was sinless humanity. And the myrrh was hinting to his mission to die for the sins of the people. See, certain fragrances mean certain things. They may mean something to you this time of the year. But how's your fragrance in mind today? Are you an aroma to those who are being saved? Or are you like the stench, like, oh man, he's here, she's here. Don't worry about it. You're in good company. Jesus says, you know, if what they said about me, right? You know, if they've spoken evil of me, what are they going to say about you? Right? They had nothing. Jesus says, he has nothing in me, speaking about Satan. He has nothing in me. And if you're in him today, he has nothing in you either. Nothing. But it's important, believer, that we are knowledgeable, that we can spread true, correct thinking as we interact with people in this lost world. We're not trying to convert people to a religion. We are trying to introduce them to a Savior, and we might go down doing it. That's the truth. The scripture says that day after day, every priest, this is from the book of Hebrews, day after day, every priest stands. The writer of Hebrews is looking back to the Old Testament time, some of the things that I pointed out today, like things in the book of Exodus. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, blood sacrifices. You know, that was a preview of what would take away sin. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. Blood had to be shed, even temporarily, to be a sin covering. But listen to what this says. But when the priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down. Who is the great high priest? Say it again. Jesus. Say it one more time. Jesus. He is the great high priest. But when the priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool. Okay, thank you, Lord. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Being made holy is your sanctification. It is your growth in Jesus Christ. It's your ongoing learning to feed on the Word of God day after day. You didn't stop eating because you had a meal last night. You woke up this morning because you're hungry. Some of you, and I'm going to point out to Bonnie right now, Bonnie is texting me and my dear wife every day, scripture upon scripture upon scripture of God's saving truth in her life. And I'm fighting for this woman because I know that she's getting it. And I'm like, God is faithful, Bonnie. You just listen to the Lord. He's using you. He's putting this stuff in your life so that you will know how good God is. Because he's there for you. He's rescuing you. And we all need rescuing. Every one of us. And we can forget that we were rescued. Peter talks about that. He's forgotten that he was cleansed from his past sins. Because in Christ there is no sin. In Christ there is no sin. I'm going to tell you how you can keep your fragrance alive. Let's wrap up with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Remind me, the Lord's at hand, right? He's close by, but he's also coming. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't figure this one out. Who's sufficient for these things, right? The apostles say, I don't get it. This treasure, the apostle says, is in an earthen vessel. We are a frail human vessel. But the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. See, I'm going to put it this way. You want to kick butt on Satan through the Holy Spirit, you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, you want to protect your mind, this is what you do. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Believer, if you're sitting around watching R-rated movies and hearing F-bombs and all this stuff and all these curses coming out, and you just like you just watch these Netflix shows, watch out, because it's going to tear you down. Watch out, because it's going to tear you down. It's going to remind you of this present world system, and you can become insensitive to that. I mean, my family has watched a show. They liked a show, and they're like, it got over to Netflix, and the stuff they wound up putting in that was horrible. It's like, you can't watch that. I'll be torn down in a second. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything, if there is any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You want a healthy brain? Meditate on the Word of God. You want to smell good? Meditate on the Word of God. You want to be a fragrance in every place the Lord wants you to be in? Meditate and know the Word of God so that His knowledge will pour through you and me. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your amazing kindness to us this morning. I thank you for this precious church. I thank you for these precious people. Lord, I pray your blessing on them, that they would be filled afresh with this true knowledge, that we in our own lives would be a fragrance to you, that we would know you, that we would adore you, that we would once again enter into a sacred worship even this Christmas. There is room at the cross for you. There's room in my heart for the Lord Jesus. There's more room for the presence of God. These are things that I would say, Lord, I want this. Anybody here this morning, nobody looking around, if that is you this morning, I want more of my God. Please raise your hand. Anybody here this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody here this morning, those hands can go down. Anybody here this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ to save them? In other words, you have not said the words, Lord Jesus, save me. I know you died for me. I believe what you've done for me, and I want to know you. Anybody here this morning that needs to say, that's me. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray for you. And then you could talk to one of us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy on this church, your bride. We are the bride of Christ. Lord, I pray and thank you that those who have said, yes, me, I want more. I need to be filled. I'm a leaky vessel. I got to stay under the tap of God's supply. Lord, fill them up this morning. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. We dedicate all of our lives to you, to please you more. Make us, Lord, let us be that fragrance that pops up in different places and brings the aroma of Jesus. Help, Lord, those that we interact with who don't know you, Lord. Would you soften their hearts? Let our witness be good. Let our care be genuine. Let our sincerity be what you want it to be. that we would meditate on the very things that the apostle said. Life-saving scripture right there in Philippians chapter 4. All of this, Lord, is life-saving. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Lord bless you.